This is PRCBZ, better known as Brent, and you are listening to the sweet and sultry Stephen Michael and Sunny Hollywood Pooney on the Growing Up Rock podcast. Be smart and turn it up.
All right, Hollywood. So we're going to go through the entire weekend of Rockin' Pod 2 and just kind of give an overview and let folks know how the weekend kind of went for us, right? And then along the way, we're going to share all these millions of interviews that we did on Saturday, which essentially had us going from 11 a.m. in the morning till about 6 p.m. that night with little or no time to do anything in between but shove two potato chips and a half a sandwich down my throat.
Yeah, we have another episode worth of content. So I think we're going to go from like Friday to about half day Saturday. And then on the next episode, you'll hear the rest of the time that we were there. So,
all right. So I'll give you the blow by blow since I was there Friday and you weren't there yet. So we got in. We pulled into Nashville about midday on Friday, and the first thing I did was hook up with the Potter Than Hell guys, and we ended up having lunch together. So myself, my wife, BB, BC, Dylan on keyboards, Steve Wright, and Potter Than Hell. So that was fun. Oh, and I shouldn't forget that Huddy was in tow. So David Hudson from Digital Killed the Radio Star was also in tow as well.
Okay.
So it was all of us. We all went out. We had lunch. Had a good time just hanging out, chatting. You know, that was my first opportunity to meet BB and Dylan face-to-face because I had not met either one of them. They weren't down last year. It was just Steve and BC last year.
Okay, so you stuff your faces. I get it. You guys ate, blah, 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 whatever. I thought there was a show that night. How did that go?
Well, what if there was something in between? There might have been something in between. There was probably a lot of drinking in between.
Sorry, I didn't know you had exciting times in between.
Yeah, exactly.
You walk down the street and trip over something. And
I wandered over to the Sidelines Bar and Grill and met up with the Canadian Geeks. And I met one of the two new hosts of Decibel Geek TV.
Oh, okay.
Peter Kuhn.
I don't think I met that guy at all.
He's very cool. I'm just going to call him Pete.
Yeah, because we got a lot of Peters now.
Yeah.
Accessory and Harris. We got too many.
But it was fun meeting the Canadian Geeks for the first time. Wally and Rich, man. I've been talking to them for over a year now, and so finally getting to meet those guys face-to-face was good.
All right, so you get drunk with the Canadian Geeks, and then you go to the show?
I didn't get drunk. I didn't drink one drop of alcohol the entire weekend.
Oh, okay.
I was about the only one, but whatever. So no, I hung out and got to know those guys a little bit, and then we made our way over to the... Well, Peter Cicery hit me up, and yeah. Peter from the I Love It Loudcast texted me, and he was in town, and he didn't really have transportation. He was staying with his nephew, and so I had him meet us over at our hotel, and we gave him a ride to the show. So we got to meet Peter and kind of chat and hang out with Peter a little bit, and then we rode over to the show. To see Keel, Greg Mangus All-Stars, Tortora, Angel.
Was Keel plugged in or was he acoustic?
Keel was plugged in acoustic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Same thing he did at the Kiss Expo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was fine. I mean, hey, he sounded great. He can still sing. He was bringing it. Crowd seemed to love it. That was fun. He went on, played a half hour, and then Greg Mangus All-Stars came on, and Greg's just a great singer. I mean, they did cover tunes. They did Aerosmith and just classic rock stuff.
So I'm standing there with – so this happened on Saturday. So I'm standing there with Peter Cessery.
Yeah.
And we're just shooting the shit. And here comes Greg Mengus, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, shake hands because, you know, we had met last year. And Greg goes, hey, let me tell you something. See this guy you're standing with? He doesn't know any of the words to all the young dudes. He gets up on stage with me last night, is singing with me in my ear all the wrong words, and I can't keep up. So I guess Peter went up on stage to sing with him?
So, yeah, I didn't actually see it because I think I was probably out on the balcony at that time. So I actually missed that part because a lot of the folks that were there at night were on the balcony smoking and drinking. And, you know, you can converse out there because it's quieter out there. And I wanted the opportunity to talk to some people. So I kind of left on a couple of tunes, and that must have been one of them because I didn't see it. But I did see later that Pete posted, thanks for pulling me up on stage to sing all the young dudes. So there you go.
All right. So Mengus gets done and Tora Tora's next.
Yep. Tora Tora's next. Love Tora Tora. Sounded great. Put on a great show. Crowd was loving it. There's just nothing that can be said other than Tora Tora delivers a rock solid rock and roll show. A bunch of stuff still, of course, like anything else, I always omitted a couple that I would love to hear, but can't play them all.
Yeah,
so enjoyed that. Went back out on the balcony, talked to people in between set change and stuff, and then Angel came on. Now, I'm not a huge Angel fan. In fact, for me to be an Angel fan at all, I would have to know something about them, and I'll be honest with you, I just don't. I was looking forward to kind of at least seeing what they were all about. You know what I mean?
Right.
How about you? You an Angel fan? Do you know much about them?
You know, I had White Hot, and I think I have On Earth As It Is in Heaven.
Yep.
And I think I have an anthology record. I don't know the songs that well. And I remember listening to it at the beginning, and I only was interested because Jafria was in the group and I was a House of Lords fan. That's yep. The only reason I even gave it a chance. But it just didn't connect with me.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I will say live that it comes across a little bit more rocking than on record, which I kind of was hoping would be the thing. And
yeah,
that did happen.
That's good.
We stayed for about half the set because I'll be honest with you, it was getting late. We had been up since 4:30 in the morning Eastern time. And I knew that we had to be up by 6 o'clock the next morning to be over there by 7. So
yeah,
we left halfway through the set and headed back to the hotel and got a little shut eye before the next morning.
So how was setup? Because since I wasn't there.
Setup was great. I'll be honest with you, man. Now that we've got all the stuff labeled, it went up super, super fast. Obviously, it was the second time. It was the third time around for us, second time around for Jennifer, and we got it knocked out pretty quick. and they were super helpful there. They had all the tables for us, all the chairs for us. Everything was great. The only hiccup that we had was we had to switch out tables because they had these big lips on them that the boom stands wouldn't attach to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we just had to switch those out with like a thin tabletop, and it worked perfect.
Well, that's cool.
And what do you think about the space we had? Did we not have like a prime location?
So when I got there, I took some headaches and some tongue lashing by some folks. It's like, your boy over there got the corner spot and spread out. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I haven't even seen him yet.
Spread out because that was our space. Nobody was supposed to be next to us. I can't apologize for that. All the rest of my fellow podcasters should not have a healthy dose of Haterade. It's not healthy.
Yeah. So anyway, I get there. You guys got all set up. I got there because Jen was nice enough to come pick me up.
Yeah.
I got there right around 10:45 as you were going to the green room to do the panel. And, you know, it's, first of all, partially it's like a family reunion of these folks that you haven't seen for a whole year.
Yep.
One of the first guys I meet is a guy named Chris Fretwell. He's a truck driver, right? A fan, listens to a bunch of our podcasts, a bunch of the podcasts that were there, including ours. Real nice guy. And met a couple of fans, said a hi to a couple of podcasters, and I was kind of trying to beeline over to the table because I didn't know how you had it set up, and I didn't know when the interview started and that kind of stuff. But just as I get over to the table and look up, I'm like, wow, this venue is incredible. It felt like a Dave & Buster's with the bar in the middle, and there's a stage, and it's got lots of space and height. And I was like, wow, we really grew into a place.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. That video walkthrough that Chris did just didn't do it justice. You just couldn't get an idea. And for sure, it was a whole different story live, you know.
You know, having the record vendors were there was cool. There was so much going on. I didn't even get to hear any of the panels because there was so much going on.
I didn't catch any of the panels either because, yeah, it was just nonstop.
Yeah. And I'll tell you about this whole, like, family reunion thing. You know, I'm a believer that us old guys, and I'm saying myself as old, you know, we have a few close friends. And, you know, really, when you're 48, 49, 50 years old, you're not looking to make new friends. Like, you got the friends you need, right? I mean, how are you going to make new friends now? Maybe you meet a neighbor, or maybe you meet somebody at work, but, you know, they're not going to really be super close, most likely. So at 48 years old, 49 years old for me, to meet people that have the same likes that I do, and the immediate connection, man, these guys feel like old friends. And I cannot believe that the personality that I obtained over the years that's just shit because I am a acquired taste can actually make new friends. It's unbelievable to me.
It is funny you mentioned that because one of the podcasters I probably hung around with most was Baco from Covers and Fire. Because it just happened. I mean, we rode around a couple times. He rode with us and, you know, we just hung out because his partner wasn't with him. Luce wasn't with him. So he was kind of on his own and we just sort of bonded. And, you know, he's an interesting person from the standpoint of we're not alike, but we are sort of alike. You know what I mean? Like we have common interest and I think we just get each other, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes complete sense. So I totally understand what you're talking about.
He said to my wife at one point in time, Steven's an acquired taste, isn't he? That's what made me think about that. And so, yeah, I mean, yes, I am. I'm 52 years old. So, yeah, we're probably all acquired taste at this point.
Yeah. You get to our age. That's exactly how it is. But no, it was that first half of the day. And then we got right into the interviews after the panel. So, you know, because you booked a lot of interviews. Dude, you're nuts. You did more interviews than everybody else did.
Yeah. So my intention was that I was going to put in requests to interview X amount of people because I wanted it to be worthwhile. Like, if I'm going to be there and do this, then I want to gather content for the listeners and I want people to feel like they're there and kind of experience everybody that attended. So my intention was to book 15 and get 8. Okay. You know, I figured, okay, 50% will come through. I'll do that 50%. The rest of the time I'll do whatever I do. But what happened was I booked 15 and I got 13. You know, so, and those are rough numbers. They're not exact numbers, but that's just, I'm just kind of making an example. So the bottom line is I worked all day from 11 o'clock when the panel started till 6 o'clock and just interview after interview after interview. And Sonny was off, shaking hands and, meeting people and recording stuff, and he was doing what he needed to do. And by probably midway through the day, my voice was shot and Sonny took over a couple, which I am super happy about because that allowed me like time just to step away and do whatever, just take a minute to regroup. But we got a boatload of interviews, so we're going to go ahead and lay some of these interviews out for people right now. And like I said, I've said it before, if you're curious as to who we interviewed, just go to the show notes and it kind of lists in each episode who's all in each episode. But we talked to guys like Craig Gass and Ron Keel and Keith, the guitar player in Tora Tora, and Troy Lucchetta from Tesla, and Gary Corbett, and Kenny Olson. We talked to all kinds of people, and I am just crazy happy with some of the stuff we got.
Yeah, so there's some cool interviews, some I haven't even heard, so check these out.
Hi, this is Al Pacino, and you are listening to the Sweet and Sultry Stephen Michael and Sonny Hollywood Pooney on the Growing Up Rock Podcast. I just shit my pants. Hoo-ah.
Craig Gass, welcome to the show, man.
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I am.
You didn't even ask me the question. I'm saying I'm doing good.
That's all right, man. It's all good. You having a good time, man? You went to the show last night, didn't you?
I did. I stopped by the show last night, which was fun, and I was actually bouncing back and forth. The band Collective Soul was performing down the street, about a mile down the street, with Three Doors Down and Soul Asylum. And those guys, a couple guys in those bands are big supporters of mine. And so I went to hang out with them and then came down the road to see Angel. Angel was like three songs into their set by the time I got there. And that was cool, man. That was a trip. And it's my first time here, Rockin' Pod, here at year number two for Rockin' Pod. And ran into some old friends already, and it's a nice hang.
Yeah, man, this venue is very, very, very cool. So we're happy to have you here, man. You're a trip. I'm looking forward to the comedy show, which is tomorrow night. So you'll be performing at that.
Yep, doing a comedy show at Zany's, which is a legendary comedy club here. I'm doing it with Courtney Cronin, my friend, my partner in crime on the Kiss cruises every time I get in trouble with Kiss or with the Kiss Army. And here comes Sonny Pooney. I've just, Zany's has an incredible history, but yeah, man, I'm stoked to be here. You coming to the show?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool.
My wife and I'll be there. So let's talk rock and roll, because this is what I want to get into with you. You're a rock fan. You're a rock and roll music fan.
Not only am I a fan, I book all my shows around the United States, around concerts, or Mariner games or Seahawk games. And that's a big reason why I'm not famous, but it is, I'm having fun.
I do exactly the same thing when my wife has business conferences. First thing I do is jump on Bainstown and find out who's playing in that city at that time. And so I identify exactly with that. I know all about you growing up in a house with a deaf family, and I've heard that story. But what I haven't really heard from you was what flipped the switch for you with music, and then in particular, how did you get turned on to hard rock and metal? Because you're one of us.
I was 13 years old. I was already kind of a fan of music. I remember having a couple of singles for Let's Get Physical by Olivia Newton-John. I had Centerfold by the Jay Giles Band. And I liked music. I had an air band with a couple of friends of mine. I shouldn't say that out loud, but I had a full-blown air band with a couple of buddies. And we had tennis rackets, and we would play with tennis rackets to the Paradise Theater album by Styx. Styx was my first concert, and I was just floored. I can still remember the adrenaline rush of hearing an arena full of people roar as the lights went down and just going, holy shit. I just remember thinking, I gotta do something with this. I have to be a part of this. It was the Mr. Roboto tour, and the Mr. Roboto tour was a theatrical presentation. They had actors, and I bought into everything they were doing. I was like, oh, I didn't realize that concerts are usually not like this. And a funny thing happened 15 years later. I ended up on the Howard Stern show. Actually, no. Jesus, this is over 20 years later. I'm on the Howard Stern show, and I go to a Styx concert, and I get hooked up with passes to meet Styx afterwards. And they're doing a meet and greet. And it's one of those meet and greets that's really organized where everybody's in a single file line and you get to talk to Styx. I found out later, watching Behind the Music, that apparently everyone in Styx fucking hated that tour, except for Dennis DeYoung, whose idea was to do this theatrical thing. And I'm watching Behind the Music years later and seeing that they're like, man, we're not Broadway actors. This was the dumbest thing we ever did. I didn't know that at the time.
You enjoyed it, right? You thought it was good?
It made me want to be in the entertainment business. I was like, oh, my God. Because like there was like a bad guy who said, we're going to shut down rock and roll forever. And then Styx fought the bad guy and said, we're locking the doors and we're never leaving tonight. We're going to rock and roll all night. And I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. I was totally into it. So fast forward, I'm an adult and I'm waiting in line. And the person that's in front of me, I stop as they start to go down and talk to the guys in Styx. And I wait until that person gets through every person in Styx because I want their attention. And they're all looking at me like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And I went, excuse me, Styx? I said, my name's Craig Gass. I'm a stand-up comedian. And I want you to know that on August 27th.
Did you already have notoriety at this point?
No, the tour manager of Styx knew who I was, but I don't think the band knew who I was. I said, on August 27th of 1983, I saw the Kilroy Was Here tour in Tucson, Arizona. And that night changed my life, and I knew that I wanted to be in the entertainment business. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew I wanted to be in the business. And now, all these years later, I'm part of the Howard Stern Show, and I just want to say, if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be as happy as I am right now. They fucking stared at me. Except at the end of the table, Dennis DeYoung leaned in front of the rest of his band and went, thank you.
I have no doubt that that happened exactly like that. And that's so crazy because, you know, I enjoyed that tour. I saw that tour and people discount kind of exactly what you were just saying and the effect that that had. You know, I like Styx and rock and shit, but that stuff was cool too.
Yeah, man, it was, I loved it. So that was rock. I was really into rock. Yeah. And then right around that time, Metal Health came out by Quiet Riot. And I still remember I remember exactly the road I was on listening to the rock station when I heard the beginning of boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 and that vocal, yeah! And I just went, what the fuck is that? Discovered cocaine, and I was on. Fuck yeah. This is my jam. I love coke, and I love this music. And that took me on forever. Got into Motley Crue, then Rat, and then figured out Metallica, and just everything metal. And I was hooked. Although I was such a big music fan that I listened to everything. I listened to, like, every concert that came to town. I went to Journey. I went to Slayer. I went to Dio. I went to Cher. I went to Simple Minds, Prince. Yeah, I loved music, period. And as a kid, I would sneak in backstage after the shows and try to meet people who worked for the bands and just try to understand the business. And there was a guy who was head of security back then. His name was Big Val. Big Val Bacekas. He ran security for all the concerts in Tucson and Phoenix. And he would catch me backstage multiple times a week going, dude, what are you doing here, man? Don't get in trouble. What the fuck you doing? And I go, oh, I'm sorry. And he'd throw me out. And then after a while, he realized I wasn't trying to cause any trouble. I really was trying to meet people and just understand the business. And Big Val actually looked the other way and said, just don't get me in trouble, all right? Don't get me in trouble. And for years, he would let me walk in without a pass. And I never tried to meet the band. I just wanted to meet people who work in the industry and ask them how to get in the industry.
Yeah.
And he would just say, what kind of trouble are you up to tonight? And I said, man, I'm just doing this thing. Years later, Big Val ended up on tour doing head of security for Ozzy, Pantera, Alice in Chains. And 20 years later, I ended up being the opening act for Alice in Chains on tour. And the head of security for the tour was Big Val. And he walked into my dressing room the first night and said, what kind of trouble you getting into here? You know,
that is fucking awesome, man.
It was surreal. Absolutely surreal. So a full circle of life was...
Yeah, no doubt, man. Music really does bring us all closer together, doesn't it? It's so amazing.
It really does, man. It's. I feel like I'm talking too much. I'm sorry. My stories are going too long.
The story is fucking great. That's what it's all about. And you kind of embody what this show is about, which is connecting with kind of those memories and thoughts of how we got started in becoming like these huge music lovers.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have very different backgrounds.
You don't like coke?
No, I don't like coke.
It's pretty awesome.
Different backgrounds, but also different, you know, we walk completely two different paths, but we can connect with music no matter what plane we're on. And so I enjoy that, because when I'm sitting here talking to you, it's not really like an interview. It's like, dude, you're into this band. I'm into that band. I remember that. I had an air guitar band, too. It was Iron Maiden Killers for me.
I remember being in the air guitar band, then metal was really starting to get big amongst everybody in my age group. And my buddy came in and said, hey, man, we're going to play air guitar to this album tonight. It's called Number of the Beast. And I remember him playing the beginning of it, and I was so scared. I was like, what the fuck is this Number of the Beast? What? Oh, my God. Number is 666.
Awesome.
Like, yeah. It's and it scared the shit out of me, man. Like, I just thought, we are all going to hell. And then cocaine somehow took me right to the edge of it.
It has a way of derailing things, I'm sure. Yeah. I can't speak from experience other than the fact that I had a best friend that dated strippers, and he got involved, and he wasn't a drug guy at the beginning, and he ended up getting into strippers and ended up becoming a drug guy. And then this was a childhood friend of mine, and unfortunately...
He grew up to be Vinnie Vincent.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He ended up stealing my identity.
Get out of here!
50 grand later.
Get out of here!
Yeah.
It was Vinnie Vincent.
It was Vinnie Vincent. Or at least the stories I understand. But, you know, he made everything all right in the end, and it's all fine. We're not really friends to this day.
Is he clean now?
I don't know. I really don't. I lost contact with him, so I don't know.
Well, I hope he is, because it's a tough thing. I've been clean now for 13 years.
Congratulations, man.
13 and a half years, and I'm grateful that I am, because in the first year that I got clean, 7 of my friends died. All comedians, 4 drug overdoses and 3 drinking and driving car accidents. So it's a tough road to go down. I feel bad for your friend, and I hope he's okay, but that's a really fucked up thing to do to another friend, for
yeah,
sure.
No, especially somebody you grew up with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He was in my air guitar band.
Really? Oh, man.
He used to jump off the back end of his dad's pickup truck as the stage.
Really?
Yeah, man.
That's hilarious.
Hey, listen, do me a favor before you leave here. Let's take a ride together. Are you willing to take a ride with me?
Let's do it.
All right, we're going to go down the Pacific Coast Highway.
All right.
Because you live out there in L.A., right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm never home, but that's where I live.
We got a convertible, and we got a 6-CD changer in the back, and we're headed to L.A. to see a concert. Tell me what 6 CDs are in that CD changer and what concert are we going to see?
Oh, shit. I love music so much. That is so tough to say. I want different moods. I want Pearl Jam in there.
10?
Which Pearl Jam? If I want to get really in a different mood, No Code.
Okay.
That's a really mellow and unbelievably introspective album.
Okay.
I put in No Code. I want to put in Billy Joel. Absolutely. Billy Joel.
Last Houses.
I got to go one of the greatest hits, maybe one or two.
Okay. Yeah, that's got everything. A little bit.
And or three. Korn. I'm going to go with, the one with all the weird faces on the front. It's all the, it's like a gang of kids.
That one's not Follow the Leader, right?
It's not Follow the Leader. It's the one after Follow the Leader. Untouchables.
Okay.
Untouchables. And that's just a specific thing for me, man. I just think there's so many great songs on Untouchables. Beastie Boys.
Okay. Which one?
Either License to Ill or the one with Intergalactic on it. Is it called Intergalactic?
No, it's the one with the, I think it's got like a sardine can or something. That was one of the later ones. It's,
yes, it has a sardine can. Wow, good memory. Yeah, sardine can, Kiss, Greatest Hits, and, which by the way, we just got charged $50 for mentioning that.
Hi, everybody. This is Gene Simmons from Kiss, reminding you during this quick commercial break that if you want the greatest hits, or the Beastie Boys, or Billy Joel. They're all available for $29.95 at kissonline.com. Boom.
And then, finally, I'm going to get really weird with you and throw in the soundtrack to Man on the Moon, the Andy Kaufman movie.
What's on that soundtrack? Do you know?
R.E.M., just some really cool orchestration.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place.
Yeah,
because I love music And I love all different types of music. My three all-time favorite artists are Billy Joel, Korn, and Beastie Boys.
Wow, that's really eclectic. I would have not taken you for that being your top three. Like, I would have thought you were probably more in line with us. I like all three of those, don't get me wrong.
No.
It's all great stuff. But I would have thought you were kind of, because I think we're close in age. I think I got a couple years on you. But
I'm 48.
I'm 52, so I got 4 years on you.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe judging from everything I've listened to and talked to you in the past, it's more along those lines of a Van Halen, a Motley Crue, and down that path.
Oh, for sure, Van Halen, absolutely.
Like it all, but that's
love Van Halen. Yeah. Huge Van Halen fan.
Oh, dude, I wish we had all day to talk about that, but I know we're short on time. So what concert are we heading to see with this eclectic 6-CD changer?
Oh, God.
What are we going to check out?
Oh, God. What would be a great show to see? I'm thinking Billy Joel. I'm thinking Pearl Jam. I'm thinking Metallica.
What do you want to see right now?
I'm constantly going to. All right, you know what? Let's go see the show I've always wanted to see and never got to see.
All right.
Life, Sex, and Death, which is a crazy band from Chicago.
Dude, I know all about them. I'll talk to you after we get off mic because you're going to go, but I'm going to tell you a story about Life, Sex, and Death that I had. I went and saw them. You've never seen them, right?
I do have to say, I saw them do like a showcase set at the Concrete Foundations Forum thing in Los Angeles. They used to have those heavy metal conventions.
Yeah, I managed a band that played one of those.
Really? Which one?
There's a band called Mother's Day Out.
Yeah.
They were a rap metal thing in 1992 or 3, somewhere in and around there.
Okay.
And we played Foundations Forum.
No shit.
Yeah,
dude, I saw Life, Sex, and Death do like a 5-song set or a 6-song set. Their singer was...
Was he outside, stinking up the place outside, walking around?
He was stinking up everything. He was a homeless... He played a character of being a homeless guy, a homeless, mentally ill person, and he did not shower. He really lived up to the character. He wore, like, leather and twine as shoes. He was very oily, greasy, and... The guy, if you don't know anything about the band, I would just recommend Googling a song called Fucking Shit Ass. It is one of the greatest songs I've ever heard in my life. It starts out as a homeless person having a mental breakdown and turns into one of the greatest rock songs you've ever heard in your life.
Yeah.
And they are one of the most profoundly unique bands I've ever seen, and I'm really bummed that they never made it to that second album. They had an idea for the second album. Alex Kane, the guitarist.
I was going to ask you if you know Alex.
I know Alex. He lives out in L.A. And I remember walking up to him saying, dude, I just want to tell you that I am such a fan of Live, Sex, and Death. And he goes, dude, I keep hearing that from people. And he told me a bunch of stories, including that on the second album. And keep in mind, they had a song called Fucking Shit Ass. That's what they wanted to be their first single. And it's like, well, we can't play this anywhere. It's Fucking Shit Ass. And the second album, he wanted to put out a song that was just the N-word. And it was like, wow. Like, they were, yeah. They were so unbelievably, I mean, you see people, you go, oh, that guy gives no fucks. Life, Sex, and Death gave no fucks about anything. So.
You know, Alex was the first guitar player, was going to be the first guitar player in Nuff's Enough, too.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, that Chicago connection, because Life, Sex, and Death was the Chicago band.
That's awesome. Hey, Craig, I'm going to let you get out of here. I appreciate your time, buddy. You've been awesome. I can't wait to talk to you a little bit later on, because I feel like I can talk music with you all day long.
Find me anywhere on social media by going to getgas.com. Getgas with two S's.com.
Absolutely. Thanks, Craig Gass.
Thank you, buddy.
Shit ass. Some fucking 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 shit ass.
So I got Dylan Wright. Hi, Dylan.
Hi.
All right. So, younger guy.
Yeah.
I got some questions for you. All of us love a band that we just can't believe everybody's not into, that you just totally, absolutely love. Who's that band for you?
I have to say Royal Blood. They're a band from England, a two-piece, bass and drums. So good that we saw them open for the Foo Fighters. They filled the arena. It was just amazing.
Really? How many albums they got?
They have two. The latest was How Did We Get So Dark? The first one was self-titled. Really?
What do they sound like?
They're like alternative, but like rockin' alternative. They opened for the Foo Fighters, so it's in that vein, but like amazing, amazing band.
Yeah. So, okay. So us old guys, and your dad would qualify as an old guy.
Absolutely.
Let's take him back. You're a young kid in the back seat. He's got the windows rolled down, and he's blasting music, embarrassing you.
Uh-huh.
What's on the stereo?
Ooh, probably Kiss. Mostly, he, for some reason, thinks Nickelback is good at times. So that's probably the one that I'm just like really cringing about. I don't get it.
Wow. What's the most embarrassing thing he's done publicly to you?
Oh God. just there's like, too many
oh my god,
names.
I gotta get away from here.
The one time at my uncle's wedding, he flipped his hat sideways and was going, yo. That was rough.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Tornado's about to come hit the house.
Okay.
You got time to save two albums. What albums do you save?
Oh, God. Probably Wasting Light by the Foo Fighters and Kilroy Was Here by Styx, because it's a great...
Wow. Okay, so I actually like that album.
It's so good.
I know your dad doesn't like that
we
album.
We actually just recorded an episode, Worst of the Best, and I picked that one, and it's... I love it. It's so good.
That's awesome. How about the best concert you've seen?
Oh, God. I keep saying Foo Fighters with all my answers, but I really love that concert.
Yeah.
But in genre, with rock, I'm going to say probably my third time seeing Alice Cooper, when Nita Strauss was first with the band. They did this extended version of Dirty Diamonds. It was so good.
That's awesome. Okay.
This is Dylan Wright from the Potter Than Hell podcast. You're listening to the sweet and sultry Stephen Michael and Sonny Hollywood Booney on the Growing Up Rock podcast. Turn it up!
You ready to rock and roll here, Gary Corbett?
I'm ready to go.
Awesome. So this is our first time Growing Up Rock talking to the great Gary Corbett. We've heard the stories. We're excited to talk to you today, my friend.
I'm happy to be here.
So Growing Up Rock likes to explore kind of those earliest memories of how people got into music. You're a multifaceted musician, but we want to know what flipped the switch for you in terms of music. How did you get turned on to music? Because most musicians, all musicians are music fans first and foremost,
right?
And that's what kind of brings us together. So what flipped the switch for you at an early age?
I have to say the Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
Like so many others,
right? Yeah. If you're old enough to remember it, it changed your life. That's pretty much it.
I've heard it time and time again, and
sure.
It was a little bit before my hand, but I've talked to so many people, and it's amazing when you think about it. If you know what would be an interesting documentary, if somebody could go back and trace the bands that were born from that moment in time.
Every one of them, probably. You know, it's unbelievable. They changed the world, you know. I could still remember them landing at JFK and the news coverage and the hoopla around it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, were you a big fan of the Image or the song?
Everything. Because I was already taking piano lessons. I was four or five when they came out, and I started taking lessons at four.
Were your parents musicians?
No.
No. So what flipped the switch for you in terms of wanting to, like, play piano and practice?
Well, before I was old enough to go to school, my mom would drag me over to my aunt's house with her in the afternoon, you know, for coffee, and they'd need something to occupy me. So they'd sit me at the piano, and I would for hours. I could sit there and I pick out melodies and just play. And they said, well, you know, it sounds like he has an ear. Maybe give him some lessons.
Did you pick up fairly quickly?
Yeah.
Because I had a friend in school that was kind of one of those musicians that just very easily picked up piano, became a really good piano player, and then a little bastard, he picks up a guitar and he starts playing guitar. Can you play guitar?
No, I tried. I could play some chords, but yeah. I never get the calls to go play guitar and keys. You know, right. I'm not like some guys. I'm very envious of those guys that can pick up an instrument and just, you know, play it well.
You went on to do a ton of stuff, and was there any particular band or song that drove you in a direction that ended you up kind of in the hard rock area?
No, I mean, I was in New York at the time in the 80s. The Shebop, Cyndi Lauper thing definitely opened a lot of doors, and everything that happened in my career happened because of whatever came next from that, you know? I mean, I could directly trace the Cyndi Lauper thing to the work I was doing at Electric Lady when I met Phil Ashley, who turned me on to not only the Kiss gig, but also at the time the Lou Gramm solo thing when he had Midnight Blue was his single.
Good song, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. And I was a Foreigner fan, man. You know, probably 5 years before I got that gig, I was in a wedding band, cover band, Top 40, and we were. I could remember a conversation with my wife. We were driving up to the Catskill, you know, to play at the Concord Hotel for the summer, and it was my summer gig in the lounge, and we were driving up and listening to Foreigner on my cassette deck, and the conversation we were having was, if you could play with anybody in the world, who would it be? And I looked at my wife, and I said, if there's ever anybody I would want to play with, it would be this guy. And I was meaning Lou. And so for a couple of years later, to actually get the opportunity, that was a mind-blowing thing.
The world's full of all kinds of karma, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was very interesting.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So I got to ask you, and you can... Don't take this the wrong way. You can answer it anyway. Are you able to basically get a nice living or bring a nice living in from the Shebop residuals?
I mean, it's not enough anymore to survive. I've made a nice chunk of money from it.
It continues to be like we'll call it a supplemental check.
Yes, and it's always welcome when it shows up.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I tell my wife all the time, you know, because Social Security's probably not going to be around, it'd be nice to have like a residual check coming in every so often.
Absolutely.
You joined Cinderella, you were part of Cinderella for so long, and I read, but I didn't know this, so I'll ask you, you were actually on every one of those records?
No, I wasn't on any of the records.
Okay, so they got that wrong. I read that information. I was like, I know he was part of the touring band, but I don't think he was actually on these records. But
no, the only thing I did with them in the studio was the song that we did for the Wayne's World soundtrack, Hot and Bothered.
Hot and Bothered.
Yeah,
yeah.
That I played on. And there's a live DVD that I'm on from the Heartbreak Station tour.
So did you go to Moscow as part of the Moscow?
No, that was before. I was still playing with Kiss when that had happened, when Bon Jovi and Ozzy. I heard the stories though.
Yeah, I was curious about that. I was like, so I wonder if Gary was part of that, and if so, I want to hear some of the stories from that plane ride, plane ride.
I have the T-shirt though, but I didn't make the trip.
Yeah, that's all right. So listen, are you willing to take a little trip with me, Gary?
Sure.
All right. So you're a Nashville guy, right?
Right.
All right. So let's climb in the convertible.
Okay.
You still got your long hair, so do you feel the wind blowing your hair?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a trip down the back roads of Tennessee.
Okay.
And we're going to head for a concert in Memphis. But we got a 6-CD changer in the back of the car. So which 6 CDs do we have for this road trip, and what concert are we going to see?
Wow. Okay. Let's see. Well... Does it have to be, are we going to see a band that can actually still physically do shows, or could it be anybody?
It can be anybody because it's our fantasy world, and it's your convertible, so I'm relying on you to pick some good road trip music for us. So load up that 6 CD changer and let's go see somebody.
Okay, so we're going to go see Jimi Hendrix.
All right.
With the Experience.
With the Experience. Got to. Mm-hmm. Got to have it.
First album, you know, that 67 around there.
Sweet. All right. I'm with you. I'm excited, by the way, by that bill.
Yeah, that's going to be a show I'm looking forward to seeing. We're going to have Led Zeppelin 2 in the CD player. We're going to have Deep Purple. I want to say Machine Head because there's not a bad song on it.
So Mach 1.
Yeah, but I haven't listened to Stormbringer or Burn in a long time, and Stormbringer,
so good,
is a great one, and I haven't heard it enough, so maybe we'll put that one in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We'll get a little Stevie Ray Vaughan.
All right, which one?
The last one with his brother.
Okay. I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan about a month before he passed away. I saw him and Jeff Beck.
Wow, that must have been a great show.
That was
show.
Fantastic. I saw him in the Omni in Atlanta, and Terry Bozzio was playing drums for Beck. Wow. That was fantastic.
Yeah, he's a monster. Yeah, well, we could probably have a blow-by-blow in the CD player.
Yeah, why
Jeff
not?
Beck. And so that's four. Let's make a left turn somewhere and go with... We still got two slots empty.
Yeah, man.
Humble Pie rocking the Fillmore.
You're the second Humble Pie guy.
And Foreigner 4.
Oh, God. I love it. I just downloaded the anniversary remix of Foreigner 4. Such a great record. That was one of my... We call these years in high school our growing up rock years. So
yeah.
Foreigner 4 was definitely one of my high school records,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Nightlife. I love Nightlife.
Yeah. And I his voice and the songs at that point, Jukebox Hero, God.
When you were with Graham, did you guys do, you did some live dates? Did you do Foreigner stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was amazing. That was the thing. And it's the only time in my career that it happened on a nightly basis. But every night when we did Jukebox Hero, when we got to the end of the song and he hit that really high note, the hair on my arms would stand up and I get goosebumps on my whole body every night.
Right on, man. Such a good singer, man.
Yeah.
What are you working on now? What's happening for you these days?
Well, I'm doing a few things. I'm working with a country southern rock artist from Kentucky that I've been producing as well as playing with him in the studio. And we're finishing up a CD's worth of stuff, and we'll see what happens with it. Been doing another project with a singer from the band Steel Drivers, which is a country, they're like a bluegrassy band. It's the band that Chris Stapleton came from.
Oh, right on. Okay.
And he replaced Chris Stapleton, and now he's doing a solo thing. Very, very similar style of voice.
Such a great singer.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's really fun. And been doing some stuff with the Nelson Brothers.
Okay. Yeah, I think I knew that. I think I knew that. I read that somewhere that you were working with Matthew and Gunner. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, we do a project called Scrap Metal.
Yeah, you do. That's where I did. I read that. And that's kind of like, it's a little bit like Rock and Roll Residency in the fact that you have all these different guys from different bands and you play the songs that they're known for, right? More or less. So you're not a road dog anymore, but you used to be at one point in time. Mm-hmm. So what would it take for a band to come along and say, drop everything, you're coming on the road with us? What band would that be? If somebody approached you, who would you want that to be that said, drop everything, come back on the road with us for the next 9 to 12 months? And money, just assume the money thing has worked out. So.
Right. Well, I really enjoyed my time with Cinderella. And if it was the four original guys, that would be probably, yeah. I spent so much time with them, and that was really like a very, we were like a family.
Yeah.
We were together.
Do you see Tom anymore? I mean, he's a local guy nowadays too, right?
Yeah. And Eric lives up in the same neighborhood as I live in now. But actually, the only person I really do keep in touch with on a regular basis is Fred.
Oh, really?
And he's the one that isn't living here anymore.
Yeah, Fred's still in California, right? Fred's doing all the soundtrack and the hockey stuff, and he's I think he's doing really well.
Yeah, he's sticking with the TV and film stuff, and I had gotten into doing that as well, and so we've done some projects together.
Oh, awesome.
Doing that kind of stuff.
Fantastic. Well, cool. Is there anything else that we want to tell the listeners before we slide out of here?
No, not that I could think of. No.
Gary, you've been awesome. I would love to talk to you at a later time much more in depth. This is a hit it and get it kind of thing. And I appreciate your time, brother.
My pleasure.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Man.
Thank you.
See ya.
Stand
standing in the rain with his head hung low. Couldn't get a ticket, it was a sold out show. Heard the roar of the crowd, he could picture the scene.
Toby, we know a ton about your history. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, God.
But we want to kind of get an idea of how do you get into engineering, production, et cetera? Did you start as a musician? Did you want to be a musician? And was there a talent issue? Like, what exactly was the story there?
There was a talent issue. I suck.
So when you're trying to tell a guitar player to do stuff, are you just going, go, ram, ram, ram?
Yeah, I'm like on Shreds. You know, like they have a Toby Wright Shreds, and that's me. I started that whole thing, you know, bow, 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 bow. You know, no, I'm just kidding. I guess, you know, going back to way back in the day when I was growing up, my dad was a professional saxophone player in New York City and played in jazz bands and things like that, and then ended up running Juilliard in the center and Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts. And so when I was like 10, I remember, you know, having to go to Juilliard and hang out and wait for him because he was my ride home. And, you know, he'd say, just come on over and, you know, hang out and go play piano with that kid. I'm like, I tried it a couple times and no, I'm not doing that anymore because they were so amazing and I couldn't keep up and I was very embarrassed, like, honestly. So I know how to play. I know where all the notes are. I know, you know, all that kind of stuff, guitar, keyboards. They're, you know, my instruments these days. And so, you know, when I'm in a studio with a guitar player and, you know, I want him to try something a little different, a different tuning or a different voicing or, you know, something like that of a chord, you know, I can describe it technically if he's of that mind and or I can, you know, just kind of, hey, dude, you know, because what I'll never do is grab a guitar out of a guy's hand and try and show him how to play. That will never happen no matter what because that's just rude in my opinion. You know, hey, let me show you.
Yeah.
No. But I will tell you, and you can then interpret it yourself and see how that fits with the music. And that's all I'm looking for is, you know, maybe another, you know, a different type of, you know, rhythm track or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
with the business that you're in, tell us the subtle differences between working with the Motley Crue guys at Girls, 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 and they're at the height of their drug use phase, and then umpteen years later, you're working with Brian Wilson. The guy is a, you know, a hero to many, and possibly one of the best songwriters on the planet.
Right.
Like, what do you got to do to melt in with those guys? Because I'm sure it takes different skills.
Yeah, it's called chameleon. I don't know. I guess maybe it's my personality or something, because I'm, you know, I can be a very alpha type male, and take the room, you know, and lead it to whatever we need to be led to. Or I can sit back, depending on who's in the room, and, you know, and follow along. And I think that it's really, you know, important because of those skills right there that I can do things like that. I can guide Brian Wilson, an amazing legend who wasn't all in his own mind when he was with me, unfortunately. You know, and we all know that history.
Right.
So, and if you don't, go look it up. You know, and then there's the Motley Crue guys who are just wild and crazy, and they're all alpha, and they're all doing their thing. And, you know, they're just, you know, Tom Worman, and, you know, they had all he could do to just keep them all in the same room and focused on going straight and, you know, playing music, right?
Yeah.
Because there were so many distractions around at that time in life that, you know, who knows, right?
Yeah, makes sense. Tell me a guitar player that you've worked with that surprised you. Like, one take, bam, it was done. Was there one?
A few. I'd have to put Jerry Cantrell up there.
Wow, okay.
Jerry's an amazing guitar player. Trey Anastasio.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All I can say about Trey. Well, then there's Les Claypool, too.
Right? Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, yeah. No, he's not a guitar player, but, yeah. You know, he's got strings and that wooden thing in his hand, so.
How about a singer that surprised you? Like, you thought the singer was one thing, and then you start working with them, and it's like, oh, my God, this person is totally who I didn't think they were.
Wow. That's an interesting question, because I would study these bands, even the younger bands that, you know, it was their first record. I would just, you know, kind of study their demos and, you know, get a sense. Lane was one of them, you know, back in the Alice days, because he had developed his style of his harmony thing, right? And he and Jerry sang so well together that, you know, sometimes even I had trouble telling who was singing which note.
Right.
You know, and I was like raising the wrong one. I'm like, oh, wrong. I want it laying up there. And, oh, shoot. You know, and it got confusing sometimes. But at the same time, you know, developing his whole sound is what we were after when, you know, we went from Jar of Flies into the Dog record.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, if you listen to those two back to back, you can definitely hear a transition, you know, or a growth in his vocal style. There have been, you know, people, Ann Wilson just blew me away.
Yeah. Underrated.
Completely. Yeah. You know, she's one of the best singers of our time.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, I'm just getting chills thinking about her voice, you know, like when she did that thing at Kennedy Center.
Yeah.
That just made me cry. You know, she's one of the best ever.
Was there ever a artist or album you wanted to work on and it slipped through your fingers? It's like, man, I'm already working on something. I wish I could do it, but I'm in the middle of this other thing. And then later you're like, damn, I missed out.
There was a couple, yeah.
Which was the one that sold the most?
Oh, God.
I'm sure you remember that one. Man, I missed out on those 10 million albums.
I'm not sure, really. I'm kind of embarrassed to say.
That's okay. You don't have to. So you still sourcing work? You're still in the business, still working?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm living here in Nashville. I have my own band, and, you know, we're working on putting out a record at the moment, where we're looking for, you know, distribution and all that kind of good stuff. But I'm also, you know, heavily into production, and, you know, heavily into, you know, helping musicians, developing musicians, and, you know, things like that. I'm currently mixing a record by a band called the Katies.
Oh, okay.
Out of Murfreesboro.
New guys?
A new band. And, you know, I love to do stuff like that, you know, and just help people along that are willing to be helped.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the key right there.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Does it surprise you that when Alice in Chains needed a new singer, why not Jerry just sing? Like, Jerry's good enough to do it. Why go get another singer? Did it surprise you Jerry doesn't just do it on his own?
I don't know. I can't answer that question because I'm not Jerry.
I was always surprised by how good his voice was.
Oh.
He's underrated.
He's way underrated, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, he's an amazing singer,
yeah.
You know, unto his own right. And you're right.
Yeah.
You know, why isn't he? But
everybody's got to be
whatever. You know, you can't, yeah, I can't answer that question. You get him on the podcast.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to try.
Ask him that question.
How about some young bands out there that you're listening to? Like, you know, the Hailstorm guys are taking the world by storm. Is there other new guys you're listening to right now?
Oh, God.
Or gals, I should say.
I seem to be more into, you know, some mellower stuff these days.
All right.
You know, like ZZ Ward.
Oh, okay.
You know, and going toward that. And but there's a few bands that I'm listening to at the moment, and, you know, they're pretty hot, you know. Just
yeah.
And I'm looking for, you know, just really good talent. And, you know, I know it when I hear it. And it's a matter of, you know, I'd love to cultivate talent. So,
yeah.
You know, I love when people get in touch with me and they're like, hey, can you listen to my stuff? And,
yeah.
You know, I usually do. And I'll give them an honest opinion most of the time of, you know, of what's going on, you know, unless it's, like, really horrible. And then I have to... And you have to tell somebody their stuff's really horrible, but keep going, please, because, you know, I don't like to squash anybody's creativity ever, you know, because of what happened to me when I was a kid, right?
All right, so let's go back a little.
Sure.
Young Toby Wright, you're in high school, you're driving somewhere, you got the windows down, stereo is blaring.
Oh, yeah, it was, too.
What's on the radio? What's in the CD changer? Like...
They didn't have
cassette
CDs
player.
Back then.
Cassette.
probably Lynyrd Skynyrd's Second Helping.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. They still are my favorite band that ever rocked the planet.
They're
you
still kind of out there, right?
They are, and I know most of the guys, and
oh,
I love
awesome.
Them all.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, to Ronnie Van Zandt's credit, there's never been a Lynyrd Skynyrd like there was when he was alive.
Yeah.
And, you know, no disrespect to anybody alive today playing in the band, by far, but it's just, you know, when a legacy passes on, you know, then that's where it ends.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just like the Alice thing with Lane.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Same thing. It's a different style of that same band.
Right.
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 And I can definitely respect the Skynyrd of today,
yeah.
But, you know, I really love to listen to all that older stuff and, you know, it just gets me going.
Yeah. Now, you have a lot of peers that when they're working with a new band or any band, at times they'll go into their Rolodex and say, you know what, this person could help this song go to a next level, right? I'm working with X band, but I've worked with Don Dokken before, so I need to get Don in here because he could really help. Do you encourage that with the bands that you work with, or it's like, you know what, guys and gals, you're the five, it's all you. You don't need my Rolodex to get you to a new place.
That's pretty much my take on it. I like to keep a band a band because so many producers come in and they want to change things.
Right.
You know, I know one who will remain unnamed that the first thing he does is change a drummer.
Oh,
you know, wrong. That's the wrong move because you're going to break up that band, you know, eventually anyway.
Right.
And, you know, that's bad news, right?
Yeah.
So there's a reason that boy's in the band or that girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, why would you change them? Why not just work with them?
Right.
And if they're not good enough, well, that's a different story altogether. But they have brought that band to that level and gotten your recognition and, you know, you to recognize them and see what's up. You know what I mean? So my take on it is I like to work with all the talent that I'm given and make the best record that we can with that band. Now, if the band decides, okay, hey, we're going to do a cover or we're going to do a this or we're going to do a that or I want a guest or, you know, I want to sing with so-and-so, heck yeah, I'll reach out, you know. I had done that with a few artists and, you know, some of it showed up and some of it didn't, you know. And it's just a matter of who's available and if they feel like it and if the money and blah, 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 blah. You know, tons of different circumstances.
So we'll end with Toby. You are one of the few guys out there that are keeping rock alive.
Thank you.
There's all this stuff about rock is dead. You've got this history that you've been involved with it for a long time now, and you continue to be involved with it. A lot of those were some of my favorite albums, especially the Alice stuff.
Thank you.
I appreciate everything you're doing. I'm glad you're continuing to do it, and good luck, sir.
thank you very much. And, you know, I think go out and listen to my record.
I'm going to a band called
Bells Into Machines.
Bells Into Machines.
Into Machines, okay. That's right. And it can be found at bellsintomachines.com.
Oh, awesome.
You know, so there's...
What kind of music?
Well, there's good music and there's bad music. That's the only two genres that I subscribe to. So it's good music, A. And B, it ranges from, you know, heavy industrial to acoustic type stuff.
Yeah. So there's variation.
Yeah, we have Paul Barker playing bass from Ministry.
Awesome.
We got Chris Connolly from Ministry.
Okay.
And we also have a man named Yanni Jarvis, a German singer. He's just amazing. So you'll see a couple things out there coming up from us. We're out there searching distro deals and things like that. So,
and the album's already out?
No, it's about to come out. Maybe October-ish. We're working it.
All right. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you guys.
All right, thanks.
Welcome to the Grown Up Rock Podcast, Kenny Olson.
Oh, thank you for having me here.
Man, we have done a lot lately, and so I started to dig through some stuff, and I was a big Kid Rock fan in the early days.
Yeah.
I saw Kid Rock in some of the smaller clubs with the Brown Trucker Band, yeah. So I'm assuming you were there from the get-go with that stuff. What were some of those gigs like in the smaller clubs versus when, you know, it all kind of hit? What was the difference in that for you?
Well, you know, I like to, some, you know, the, whether it's playing in front of 400,000 people or the Super Bowl or playing to 200 people in a small club, to me it's all, you know.
It's all rock and roll?
Yeah. I mean, I like, you know, the small, intimate kind of vibe shows as well. But, you know, for those, it was just fun just because we, you know, just taking that band and as we grew and stuff, it was it was just a lot of fun. The whole ride all along was, you know. And we kind of went back. When we first started going over to Europe, you know, we weren't as big there as we were here. So we got to go back to doing a lot of that, too. And then we blew up over there, and next thing we know, we're playing the big festivals over there, and 500,000 people. So
it was a fun ride.
Yeah, it's fun to like build something and watch it, you know, manifest. It's cool.
Yeah. So let's take a little bit of a trip back, because part of Grown Up Rock is we like to find out some of those earliest influences, right? Yeah. So what was it that flipped the switch for you in music that made you kind of the music fan you are today?
Well, I mean, I always. I guess at a pretty young age knew that it was my calling to do this, and, you know, take guitar and find my voice within guitar. You know, first I wanted to start playing guitar because, you know, I just wanted to feel it, write songs and sing and all that stuff. Yeah. But eventually that became my main thing. You know, but I started playing guitar when I was like 10, but I was lucky because I, you know, my parents were as old as I am. I don't want to date myself, but my parents were still of that cool generation where they had, you know, cool records in the house too. So, I mean, I was able to walk around the house at 4 years old singing Foxy Lady and all this stuff, you know. And
yeah, so your parents were music fans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and they had cool records. And growing up in Motown, you know, everything from the whole Motown roots to Detroit Rock City, so everything from, you know, like I said, Motown to the Stooges, the MC5 to Seeger, all that stuff, you know, listen, Bette, Alice Cooper, all these Detroit, you know, based people were obviously a big influence, you know, then they had the British Invasion where everybody, you know, playing guitar and Zeppelin and Sabbath and Floyd and all that stuff. And yeah, so it's, I kind of, you know, and all the old blues legends too. I was always, you know, a big blues fanatic, you know, like Howlin' Wolf and all that stuff. And
do you remember a specific thing that happened in your life that said, okay, I'm going to play guitar now. I'm going to pursue this. Was there a specific time or something that happened that kind of pointed, you can point to that said you're going to be a guitar player? I know you're a Hendrix fan. You're a huge Hendrix fan, right?
I love, you know, Hendrix. I was Jimmy, you know, there's so many great guitar players that influenced me, and along with other instruments too. You know, like singers, you know, I was always, because really the art to playing music and playing, you know, as a guitar player or any instrument is playing of a song. And when you approach it more like that, you know, like it's your own voice, you actually don't overplay it, because there's so much beauty in the space between the notes. And we all can, you know, even myself, you know, that's why, like, when I go back and forth, whether I'm playing on records or doing my own projects or producing, I kind of like balance myself out with that. Because when I'm producing, I'm telling people I tell myself the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
So if I'm not, you know, I'm not doing my job unless I'm learning at the same time.
Right.
So, but,
I listened to some recent stuff that you put out, and I for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it, but it said it was just recently released, and our buddy Greg Mangus did some background vocals on it, which I thought was kind of cool stuff, because it's different, right?
Yeah, that was something we did for, that was a Warner Chappell thing for a soundtrack. So
yeah, I thought it was cool.
Yeah, with the Adasa rapping on it.
Yeah,
and stuff too.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yep. Yeah, she's cool. She works with like Snoop Dogg and Pitbull, those people. She's from like Miami area.
Right on.
And to combine her and Greg on that song was
such a diversity, cool. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. So what do you got going on now? What's happening?
Speak of the devil. Look at
him. Oh, yeah, there he is. Mangus. Mangus in the house.
Kenny Olsen is a badass.
Now I got to pay him.
Yeah, $5. We'll dish it over. He needs the money. He's got a new kid.
Yep.
What are you working on now? What's happening for you right now?
Well, we've just, this past February, we did a new 7-day binge album, which is a band I, you know, had like 8 years ago, and then we kind of disbanded for a while and made a great record. So that's, we're still trying to figure out when that's coming out. I've got a project I'm doing, me and Steve Perkins from Jane's Addiction, and Norwood from Fishbone, and Scott Page from Pink Floyd. We have a new thing we're doing as well. So I've been commuting between here and going out to LA to do that a lot. And I'm also doing a new solo record, and I'm also working on this documentary. We're going to take a lot of those old school legends, and I got some really, really badass, you know, people. And it's something I've always been into doing. Even when I was at Kid Rock, like the Hendrix tours or Les Paul, like all these different people, we did a lot of these all-star things. And there were so many people that I had part of this that have already passed, you know, because it's like, it's just, you know, it's so unfortunate, but it's...
You can't stop time.
Yeah. And so there's, you know, some people that I really just want to, you know, do it while we can, you know.
Yeah.
I had probably at least 18 people that I was going to have work on this project with me.
Yeah.
They're all gone already.
Oh, wow. I respect that. It's trying to capture time, and time keeps moving, yeah. Right?
So I'm kind of, you know, doing that within my own record, but I'm bringing all these different collaboration people in doing it. But I'll be able to tour on it, stripped down version, and there's going to be the
that's cool. That sounds awesome.
Version where people, you know, if the promoters want to pay the big bucks, I'll bring in the extra special guests.
Right on. So let me ask you this: are you willing to take a ride with me, Kenny Olsen?
What's that? Yeah, where are we going?
Okay, so we got a kick-ass convertible, Kenny.
And
in the back of the convertible, there's a 6-CD changer.
No way.
Yeah, right. Man. We're headed down the roads. We're going to go some of these Tennessee back roads. You with me?
Yep.
All right, we're headed to a concert. We can see anybody living or dead. What 6 CDs are on the road trip, and who are we headed to see?
Let's see. Whether dead or alive?
Dead or alive, baby.
Dang. Could put together quite a band.
Yeah, man. What six CDs are we gonna road trip to get us there?
Oh, okay. So we're talking about what CDs.
Yeah, but then we're on our way to see a concert, so we're going to see somebody too.
We're gonna need different stuff, and then when we get there, we're gonna need something really motivating.
Right on.
And like a lot of times before, we used to go on stage at Kid Rock. One of the song albums I would put on would be Sabotage. You know,
which one? So Black Sabbath, or
yeah?
Okay,
so I'm thinking, let's put that one on there.
Okay,
that's Black gonna Sabbath. Be the one right before we get out of the car and go into the concert.
Okay,
so we got our.
We'll probably shuffle them, but okay.
That'll put our game face on.
All right,
you know, like
right
hole,
on.
Hole in the Sky or Symphony of the Universe, something that's.
Oh, it's good
us,
shit.
Like,
I love Symphony of the Universe. Know.
That's actually a good one to listen to when we're driving there, because that big break there, you know, we might, you know.
Yeah, with the convertible
we
and the
might
wind
be taking
blowing.
A, you know, there might be a safety meeting involved. No, I was kidding.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I don't know. We'd have to have something from Floyd in there, too. Maybe a Hendrix. We might need some, going to a concert, we're going to need some AC/DC in there, too.
Which one you want to spin? Which one we want to throw in there? We want to throw in Bon Scott or
yeah.
Yeah,
we're going to go way back.
Okay. I think it should be Powerage.
That's a good call.
All right, so I'm going to make the call on that. We're going to put Powerage in there.
Yeah.
Let's go with Hendrix Greatest Hits, because that covers everything,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Floyd, you'll have to pick that, because I'm not a huge Pink Floyd fan, so if you want Floyd, you pick the record.
I mean, that'd be good, but maybe the Floyd would be after the concert.
Okay, but we need to put it in the changer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's throw in, yeah, after the show, we'll put on Animals on the way back.
Okay. You talking about Eric Burdon, the Animals?
No, oh. Animals, Pink Floyd.
Oh, Animals, Pink Floyd. Okay, the record. Yeah.
Or Dark Southern, I don't know.
All right.
So we'll put, yeah. See, what else do we need in there? We got AC/DC and Sabbath, so we got some good energy going there. Got some Hendrix. I don't know, what else should we put in there? There's so much
Hendrix
to pick from.
Sabbath. We got AC/DC. That's great right there.
Let's put some Stooges in there too. Put
all
some
right.
More energy in there.
A little Iggy
Raw
Pop
Power.
And Stooges.
Yeah, we'll put some Raw Power in there.
Fair enough. What concert are we headed to see? Who are we gonna go see?
Shit, we got everybody up on stage. I mean,
you gotta pick a band, man.
It's gotta be just a band
or an artist.
Well, can we have like this all star band with like Hendrix and Miles Davis
and John Lennon,
John Bonham on drums?
Yeah,
and,
man, I guess it's a fantasy world. Why not? So we got Bonham on drums. We got Hendrix on guitar. Who else have we got in this band?
Let's see.
You don't get like two drummers.
Steve Marriott.
Okay, Marriott's playing.
Let's have Steve Marriott singing.
Going to sing, okay.
He'll even play guitar too. He's a great guitar player too.
Yeah.
So
we got Hendrix playing lead and Marriott playing a little rhythm and singing.
Yeah.
All right, so now we need a bass player.
Well.
No, you can't put yourself on bass.
No, let's see. I've been very blessed. I've got to work with all the great bass players out there. A lot of them are still alive too. So we could.
That's a low impact job. Bass playing.
Yeah, I've been pretty blessed. I got to work a lot, you know, with Billy Cox through the years and Bootsy Collins and.
Oh God, Bootsy. That's
Billy
a character.
Bass Nelson, Tommy Shannon. I mean, I should have been a band with Norwood Fisher. It's doesn't get much better than him on bass.
Yeah. So. I'm sure there's any number of guys.
Yeah. This is a tough question. This would be one of those ones where I'd probably like.
They could be living, though.
Yeah.
They don't have to be dead.
Yeah.
I think we should go with.
Maybe Phil Lynott in there. If we're doing all people that passed away.
Yeah, you know, but Phil would probably want to sing some.
Oh, yeah. Him and Steve together?
Yeah. That'd
Yay.
Be interesting, right?
That'd be badass.
All right.
That would take 30 days in the hole and jailbreak and one combo
nice.
Medley.
Nice. I like it. Yeah,
that'd
man.
The jailbreak and the 30 days in the hole medley.
That might be cool.
That would be.
All right.
We'll put that on the request list.
Yeah, man.
We'll put that in the tip jar for them to play that.
I'm down with it. I'm down with
it.
Don't
care how you do it. Just do it.
Awesome. Kenny, do you have anything else you want to tell the listeners before we let you go?
Rock stars and strippers are people, too.
Yeah. Where can they find out information about you? KennyOlson.com?
Yeah. Yeah, and then Facebook, that whole social media world. I'm very fortunate to have some people that help me run that, because I would be
Yeah.
Lost. You're not both. Definitely old school. I mean, I didn't even really come into that era until I even got like an iPhone.
You and I both.
Like the iPhone, like, just kind of changed. I'm like, wow, Kenny, you actually emailed somebody. Yeah.
Kenny, I appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, pleasure's mine.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
See ya.
I got Podcast Rock City's Brent with me. Hello, Brent. How are you?
Oh, I'm having a great time here. At you know, it's funny to get everybody together, and all of a sudden, it's like every podcaster wants to interview every other podcaster. So it's a great sharing environment. So it's pretty cool.
It's cool. I got a couple of questions for you. So everybody's got that band that they listen to that it drives them absolutely nuts that nobody else listened to them or they're not huge. What band is that for you? For me, it's Y&T. Who's it for you? Sepultura?
No. Okay. An English goth band called Fields of the Nephilim. Okay.
What the hell is that?
It's so they're this atmospheric, very intense, sort of almost like a Cthulhu horror movie kind of inspired band, very visual, and after they split up, one of the guys did do a super heavy album on Metal Blade under the name Nephilim. That album's called Zune, and so I think people like heavier stuff would like that, but I never understood why they didn't connect with anybody, because they're one of my favorite bands that no one's ever heard of.
How many albums do they have?
I'm going to say the original lineup had 3 studio albums and a live album. And then they've had a couple of incarnations since then that have 2 or 3 more records.
Okay, so you're a saint. I know that. But let's say your wife is throwing all your shit outside the bedroom window for some reason because you pissed her off. What 2 albums do you dive to save?
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever be in that situation. I'm also lucky enough that she would be afraid. She wouldn't throw out a lot of my favorite records because they're also her favorite records. But
what 2 records do you have to win in the divorce then?
Oh, God. Let's see. That's a real tough question. Right now, I would say all three Sisters of Mercy albums. Okay. Been listening to that a lot lately. And then the first DiWarzo album, Disco Ruggito. That's something else that...
I've never heard of any of this, but that's good. That's good.
Okay. I'll educate your hair metal existence at some point. These are all alternative records. Sister Mercy, obviously, an 80s English goth band that had a couple of incarnations. And then DiWarzo's industrial band from Chicago that has a lot of... The first album's a lot of percussive metal type stuff, but then they eventually got really kind of funky and groovy after a while. But yeah, so not the usual stuff that you hear on Growing Up Rock, but that's all right.
All right, so a young Brent, let's say high school Brent, is driving down the street, windows rolled down, music is basically blaring out of the car. What's on the radio?
I'm listening to The Cult.
The Sonic Temple?
No, I'm a lot older than that. Sonic Temple came out when I was out of college, so it would have been just prior to that. I think when I was a senior, Love came out, so yeah. That was that was a favorite of mine. But Go West album prior to that was also one that I loved too. So
that's cool. The only Go West I know is King of Wishful Thinking.
Okay, no, that's a different one, but all right.
Please make sure you subscribe to our podcast, Growing Up Rock, and leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a like and leave us a comment on Facebook at Growing Up Rock.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.